In every time of crisis, at every hour of decision, come the words of Joshua to Israel, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve." Joshua 24:15. We are today standing on the threshold of the crisis of the ages. It will be an hour of decision, not only for the church, but also in the church. It will involve a basic decision in our relationship to the demands of the world. We would hope that the decision to be rendered, the choice to be made, will be clear and obvious. But if I read aright the inspired counsel, such will not be the case. In Great Controversy, page 593, is this sentence: "So closely will the counterfeit resemble the true that it will be impossible to distinguish between them except by the Holy Scriptures." And then in Special Testimony Series B, number 2, page 52, it says this: "The track of truth lies close beside the track of error, and both tracks may seem to be one to minds which are not worked by the Holy Spirit, and which therefore are not quick to discern the difference between truth and error." Centuries ago, another hour of decision faced a chosen people. That decision that was theirs to make is recorded in Matthew, the 27th chapter, beginning with the 15th verse. "Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas, or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him." And now verses 20 to 23. "But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all said unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified." Today we say, the choice was so easy to choose between those two men that we would not have done as they did. But remember that as we look back, ours is the judgment of history. Or in the words of that spiritual, were you there when they crucified our Lord? Were you there seeing it as it was at that time? Let us go there and see the forces and the issues at work and at stake. Textual evidence suggests that Matthew 27, 16 to 17 could read like this: "And they had then a notable prisoner called Jesus Barabbas." In fact, If you'll check the New English Bible, that's the translation that you find there. Jesus, Barabbas. Now, what does Barabbas mean? It means Son of the Father. Here were two men standing, as it were, before those people. True, at that moment of decision, one was still incarcerated in a cell, and Jesus alone stood there. But in the minds of the people, it was a choice between two. Jesus, the Son of the Father, or Jesus, the Son of the Father, called Christos, the Christ, the Messiah. And thus those people had to choose between two sons of the Father. John 18, 39 and 40. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. John is likewise looking back. He is stating simply what was true as concerning the character of Barabbas. He was a robber. He was the leader of a band of thieves. For remember that Jesus was crucified between two thieves. But why was he such a notable prisoner? Let's turn to Luke. And in the 23rd chapter of Luke, let's notice verses 17 to 19. Luke 23, 17 through 19. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who, for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder, was cast into prison. Sedition and murder are also ascribed to this man by Luke. Now remember, John said he was simply a robber. Now Luke adds to it, the charge was sedition and murder. He was not apprehended particularly as a thief. Now by going to Mark, the 15th chapter, and verses 6 and 7, we have a complete picture presented before us. Now at that feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. He was a political prisoner who had led an uprising against the power of Rome. In other words, Barabbas was a leader of a zealot movement to free the Jewish people from the Roman yoke. As Matthew notes in the 27th chapter, he was a notable prisoner. Now the word notable can be translated two ways, either as an eminent or a notorious. In the eyes of the Romans, he was notorious. But what was he in the eyes of his fellow countrymen? Two prisoners. One seized by the Romans, the other seized by the Jews and turned over to the Romans. At that moment in history, one stood there with Pilate in the judgment hall, the other was incarcerated in a special security prison of the Romans. Both had offered to the Jewish people freedom. Jesus, Barabbas, called the Christ, had declared, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus Barabbas, the robber, the thief, both had offered to the Jewish people a kingdom. Jesus Barabba, called the Christos, the Christ, had declared, "The kingdom of God cometh not with outward show, it is to be within you." Jesus Barabbas, the thief, the robber, had offered the Jewish people a kingdom in which they would become the rulers, the controlling force, the controlling power, not from within, but impressed from without. One that would free them from their spiritual bondage, or one that would free them from their material bondage. What kind of a Messiah and a kingdom had their religious leaders prophesied for them would be the true? What had been their religious education as to what they were to expect? Which of these, and if self is the factor in my decision now, in the choices that face me in this coming crisis hour, then I would have done back there just what they did when they chose between the two Jesus Barabbas. And we face similar choices and decisions today. What about the future of the church? What do we want and expect the future of the church to be? What have our religious leaders conditioned us to believe the future of the church to be? The picture, as far as the church, and I'm speaking of it from its corporate entity, what will best satisfy our personal ego in relationship to that fulfillment? Are we not hearing on every side today, the church is going through? Stay in the comfortable pew and you'll reach the kingdom? But you say, Brother Grothier, is the church not to be glorified? Yes, the church will be glorified. But how and when? In Desire of Ages, it says on page 787, the same power that raised Christ from the dead will raise His church and glorify it with Him above all principalities, above all powers, above every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. But when will that be? Ah, when Christ comes to gather His people unto Himself, then will those that have been faithful to Him be glorified above every name that is named in this world and the world to come. Those who have followed Him in His regeneration shall sit also upon thrones, judging in the kingdom of God. Ah, we want the crown without the cross. We want the outward glory without the reproach that the inward glory brings in a world that's in rebellion against God's principles. And we fail to realize the significance of the meaning of glory. For if you'll read in the closing chapter of the Gospel of John, where Christ is speaking to the Father to glorify Him, and when the Father responds, "I have both glorified Thee and will, Thy name, and will glorify it again," That promise and that commitment was within the shadow of the cross. God was glorified in the Son when the Son hung upon that cruel cross, rejected of men, religious leaders, and the rulers of this world. But in that very act, the judgment came upon that nation and that world at that time. And when that cross is relived, indeed, the prince of this world will be judged. And then will be the complete realization of the meaning of what Christ said, that if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. But remember, the reproach of the cross, the scandal of the cross, cannot and will not be realized as long as self enters into the decision of which it shall be, Christ or Barabbas. And we'll face it. In volume 5, page 81 of the Testimonies, I read this: "The time is not far distant when the test will come to every soul." Yes, each of us will be tried as if we are the only individuals in this world. The test will come to every soul. The mark of the beast will be urged upon us. It doesn't say in this quotation, forced upon us. It will be urged upon us. I'm not saying that force will not ultimately be applied in the application of the mark of the beast, but it says here that the mark of the beast will be urged upon us. And those who have step by step yielded to worldly demands and conformed to worldly customs will not find it a hard matter to yield to the powers that be rather than subject themselves to derision, insult, threatened imprisonment, and death. If step by step now we are yielding to the powers that be, the worldly influence and the customs of the things around about us, so that we can be acceptable and accepted, self-glorification, it will be an easy thing then, when the mark of the beast is urged upon us, to accept that rather than derision, insult, threatened imprisonment, and even death. How only will we be able to make the final decision? Self, the ego, must be taken from the picture. For that self, that ego, and the Holy Spirit cannot work in the same mind. Notice Galatians, the 5th chapter, and the 17th verse, Galatians 5:17. To do the things that we would, if we want Jesus Barabbas, that is called the Christ, then the flesh and the lust thereof must go. But if we want Jesus Barabbas, the thief, the robber, then the Spirit of God must go. Therefore, this means simply and only simply, Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. Even the present thinking within the church. And to accept the invisible against the evidence of our senses, will require a decision extraordinary. To make the final decision demands that today at each crossroad we make choices not rooted in self and self-interest, but based in true love, love that comes from the heart of God, love that seeketh not its own. It means simply that in that choice, that decision that we make, day by day in each decision, we accept Him who declared, "My kingdom is not of this world." And with the acceptance of that kingdom, and He said unto them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." What's this saying? He says it to us all. If any man, individually from the crowd, will follow him, Jesus Barabbas, who is called the Christ, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow. Yes? Jesus, the Son of the Father, took His cross and went to Golgotha. He lost His life to all earthly appearances, but because He became obedient even unto death, wherefore God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name that is above every name. And dearly beloved, every member that follows the Lord Jesus Christ is a part of His church. And for that church to be exalted above every name, this name not only in this world but in the world to come, means that that church, also the individuals of that church, must accept the same, their cross, even as He accepted His cross, in order to be sons of the same Father. And that, in that way only, will they save their lives. And when we make this our daily experience, taking up our cross daily, when we come to that supreme hour of crisis, that test that will come to every soul, we will be able to say, as the Apostle Paul, "God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Let us pray. Our Father, our God, we would be Thy children. We would be known as sons of the Father, through Jesus the Messiah. Help us, Lord, to realize that the path in this world is the path that leads to the cross. But beyond the cross, when we have become obedient even unto death, Thou dost hold out to us the life of the ages. We thank Thee for the provision that has been made in Jesus our Lord. May we accept it. And at each step of the way, at every hour of decision, at every place where we must analyze and perceive truth, oh God, help us to make the right decision, to choose the right one, the right way, the truth, the way, the life, that we might be free. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.